Scripture says that that person will be welcomed into the hill of the Lord, the mountain of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And I want to be that kind of person, Daniel. I know you do too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the dream would be that the Spirit would stir that kind of a thing up in our hearts individually and then collectively, because as you know, Chuck, all the great movements of revival began in hearts like that that found one another, and these movements of united prayer really began to occur in a spirit of repentance and seeking God's face. And it has to start with me and you, and we pray that it'll occur in all of our churches.
Absolutely, and that's why I think your book is so important, and I wanted to have you join us here today, Daniel, to talk about this, because we're in this critical moment, a point of desperation or devastation. People talk as if prayer is the way we get God to give us what we want. But Scripture points in virtually the opposite direction, indicating prayer and communication with the living God as a means He uses to give us what He knows we need. And that means we have to come in humility, not telling Him necessarily, but saying, Lord, we need you to tell us.
Yeah, that's right. Talk show host a couple weeks ago in Portland asked me, so what is the purpose of prayer? My response was pretty basic. I said, well, the purpose of prayer is the purpose of everything, and that is the glory of God. And that's what we have to realize when we pray. It's like you said, it's not for what we think we need, but for what God knows we need. And ultimately, all that leads to His glory in our nation and in our lives.
Daniel, take a moment and pray for us, will you?
I sure will. Father, this very conversation is evidence of what we see in Psalm 27, where the psalmist writes, when you said to me, seek thy face, Lord, even in this conversation, we feel again your Spirit stirring within us that initiative that says, seek my face. And so, Lord, as Chuck and I have felt, and we trust those listening now live or even later will feel as well, like the psalmist, we will cry out, Lord, thy face will I seek. And God, our nation so needs that kind of a restoration, but it begins in the church. And so, Lord, today I pray for individuals listening. I especially pray for pastors and all of the weapons of mass distraction that are being launched upon them, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give them a focus, like the early church leaders who will say, we will be committed to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And, Lord, out of that, may you develop for your glory churches that are houses of prayer, where the supernatural power of Christ is being unleashed through the supernatural message of the gospel, producing a supernatural change in the world around us for the glory of Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.
Amen. Prayer, my friend, is not asking God to do my will. It's bringing myself into conformity with His will. It's asking Him to do His will and to give me the grace to enjoy it and to do it. Thanks for joining us here. Get a copy of this wonderful book, Transforming Prayer, How Everything Changes When You Seek God's Face. Your gift of $14 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Get on our website, saveus.org. Write to us, order it that way. If you write, add $4 for postage and handling, and become a partner. Day after day, we're preparing the way of the Lord. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Let's begin the transformation of our country by the transformation of our hearts.
Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and Well, for the next hour, 2 hours, are going to be the views of Pastor Joe Schimmel. Now, those of you who don't know Joe Schimmel, he's an old friend. He's done the most wonderful series. We sell it here. It's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3 hour, the 4 hour, the 10 hour version, which he put together based upon his own experience basically the hard rock, the music industry, which was really satanic. And he's done a number of other things that we've carried. We think they're really great. He's done a recent DVD on Planned Parenthood. Hi, Joe. How are we doing?
Doing great. Good to hear you, Stan.
Well, what should we talk about tonight? What would you like to talk about?
Wow, there are so many things boiling my heart right now. I'm going to be going to Uganda pretty soon to do a pastor's conference. Actually, next week we leave. And Uganda, you remember during the... there was a bombing out there that took place during the World Cup just a little while back, during the summer, Muslim-orientated. And I'll be doing a pastor's conference there, speaking to a bunch of pastors. I'll be dealing with popular culture and a lot of things to be concerned about, because the whole hippie movement, the counterculture revolution that took place in our country in the 60s, it took about 10 years or so to get to Africa. And with the rise of technology and urbanization and, you know, things, discos and what have you, it hit. They're a little bit late, but right after it hit, we had the crisis of unparalleled sexually transmitted diseases and what have you, because of the popular culture coming out of the West. And tragically, a lot of, you know, in times past, there were so many missionaries that had come from the West spreading the gospel, but now we're spreading a lot of Hollywood's message, a lot of the rock and roll industry's message. And the irony is that Bono is over there trying to relieve debt and what have you, but the huge irony is that much of the pain and anguish that's over there and the death is related to lifestyles that have been perpetuated in mass through popular media. So I'm going to be dealing with popular media, but I'm also going to be dealing with the rise of Islam. You know, Uganda borders Kenya, and there's a lot of Islamization going on, as you know, in the Middle East right now. So I thought, why don't we talk about, because we hadn't discussed what we talk about, and I asked the gentleman that I got on the phone with before you, Daniel. I said, you know what we're discussing tonight? Because with 2 hours, I thought, you know, I said, well, I'm just going to leave it in Dr. Stan's hands, you know, whatever he wants to talk about. But if you're asking what's on my heart, and I know you know a lot about it, so I think we could have a great discussion, is what's going on in the Middle East, because it definitely relates to what's going on in this country, because there's a lot of, dictators being overthrown, but I'm afraid that the cure, the medicine, in many cases, will be worse than the original malady. And because we're seeing, I believe they need to break these things down to bring not republics based on a Judeo-Christian ethic, but to bring democracies where you can vote, 51% can vote against the 49%, and we end up with an Islamic confederacy of nations that sets up the Bible end time prophecy.
Well, you know, the most amazing thing is, Joe, the average American doesn't understand that we are backing this whole radical Islamic movement. In fact, it was CIA policy that moved Turkey out of the pro-Western stance into this radical Islamic position. And certainly I believe that we know very well that our government and the English government are behind what's going on over there. We know that Lord James, a member of the British Parliament, the House of Lords, got up and talked about how he'd been funneling money to the terrorists in North Africa. The best revolution money could buy, we back both sides and create conflicting ideas and go to plunge that area into radical Muslimism. Well, you go right ahead, Joe, because I think this is a fascinating subject. We'll be glad to go ahead with this, because basically we are creating the best enemy money can buy. And until people understand this is a recurrent pattern, we did it during the First World War, we did it the Second World War, we did it during the Korean War, we did it the Vietnam War, and certainly this is exactly what we're doing today. We have built up this whole radical Muslim movement, largely with American funds, working behind the scenes, backing this radical movement. So we can have, I think, a terrible, terrible conflict. And I think it's going to have a devastating effect on the Muslims. I think it's going to have a devastating effect on this country.
Well, I believe by the time we get done with these 2 hours, then I think a lot of your listeners, because I know you're conversant with so much that's going on over there, and you can put it in its historical setting, and I think we'll have a great conversation. But I think a lot of your readers, and it's just my personal, I share it with others, though, view that Islam and the United States play a huge role in biblical prophecy and the setup for the New World Order. And I believe there's many scriptures in Daniel and Revelation that refer to what's going on not only in the Middle East, but our influence on the Middle East. That is the United States of America. So I think if we, you know, I draw a line back and I say, okay, all the way to the scripture and what it reveals, I believe God, just like a parent loves a child and a parent progressively reveals to his or her children his will and lets them know what's going on in the future, the Bible tells us that God knows the end from the beginning. He's not surprised what's going on. He's given man a degree of free moral agency, and man is paving a rebellious path away from him. But I think what's going on right now, personal conviction, we know what happened with the Shah of Iran in the late 70s. We know what happened with Ali over in Tunisia just recently. We know what happened in Lebanon, and we know what happened not only with recently with Tunisia, but Mubarak, and he was a friend of Israel's and an ally of ours to a degree. I mean, we haven't had many problems with Egypt for quite a while. And then now with many other, you know, we're talking about, you know, some pretty bad dictators, no doubt. And we talk about Gaddafi and others. But these guys, many of these guys stand in the way of a new world order because sometimes they're very rogue, like Saddam Hussein. So what I believe personally is they need to consolidate these different nations, is my personal opinion. And if you look at what's happened with the Muslim Brotherhood, 1928, founded in Egypt in 1928, it's the biggest, it's the most powerful.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Chris, Joe was just talking about really what happened over there in 1928. Why is 1928 important? Because that's when the Muslim Brotherhood was founded. And who financed it? MI6, the British Intelligence Agency. People do not understand this idea of financing the enemy, creating an enemy, financing an enemy. But one of the things Joe is talking about is America in prophecy. I'm really interested in knowing your views on that because, of course, I'm not a biblical scholar. I'm sort of an amateur historian. I got a lot of doubts, a lot of interesting facts that most people don't have. Trying to put them together sometimes is a little difficult, but as far as certainly God's hand, I know God's hand's behind what's going on. But I'd like your interpretation of what you see happening, because, of course, we can look at the political, we can look at the historical, we can look at the financial, but most people don't look at it from the biblical point of view, and without that, none of this has any meaning. So you pick up the story, Joe, please.
Well, several years ago, I did a 7-year study, verse by verse, through the book of Revelation, and it took us 7 years, and each study was about between an hour and a half long, and one thing I saw very clear in the book of Revelation, many people believe that the Antichrist system in the end times will strictly be like a revived, you know, Roman Empire, specifically in Western Europe, and that'll be centered there. One thing I pointed out to the congregation I pastor, when we went through Revelation 13, it talks about the beast empire, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and what have you. It describes it very interestingly. It describes it as looking like a leopard and a lion and a bear, and this is quite strange imagery if you're not conversant with the book of Daniel, because in the book of Daniel we have this imagery that's given in Daniel. But Daniel's a sealed book. It's not really understood perfectly, or I should say to a great degree, what Daniel's revealing about the final beast empire until the book of Revelation is written, and then John is told not to seal that book. If you put it together and we realize that we look at Daniel has this Nebuchadnezzar has this incredible image of this, you remember his image, the head of gold and the chest of silver and the belly of bronze and the legs of iron and the feet of a mixture of iron and clay. And he's told that, Nebuchadnezzar is told that Babylon, his kingdom, represents the head of gold. And then, of course, after that comes the Medo-Persians, who are represented by the two arms, the silver, which would succeed the Babylonian Empire. And then after that, you'd have the belly of bronze. Each metal kind of deteriorates in its value, and that would be the Grecian Empire, Then you have the two legs, the legs of iron, which succeeded the Grecian Empire, which, of course, is the Roman Empire. There's two legs there, just like there were two arms, the Medes and the Persians. The two legs represent the Roman Empire, which existed and suppressed the Jews during Jesus' time. Now, what's interesting about this is that's Nebuchadnezzar's vision that God gave him and gave Daniel the interpretation. Daniel also had a dream, and his was in regard to these same empires, but he doesn't look at them, God doesn't reveal them to him the way he did to Nebuchadnezzar. Because Nebuchadnezzar looks at these as valuable, beautiful kingdoms. He looks at them from the perspective of God, that God gives him his perspective, and they're wild beasts, you know. The head of gold ends up being the lion, you know, and this lion eventually it flies, and it's later in Daniel you'll see that its wings are clipped, and that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar specifically. I mean, God lowered him and humbled him, and that was their emblem, by the way, in Babylon. They dug up their ancient symbol was during Nebuchadnezzar's time was a lion, and then after that, you know, you see that this lumbering bear, he's bigger on one side than the other. That's because the Persians were what. Bigger than the Medes, who they'd allied with, and then of course the bronze represents a leopard, and then you get down to these two legs, and they are diverse. So it's interesting the imagery of Babylon, the imagery of Greece, and the imagery of the Medo-Persians is a bear and a leopard and a lion. When you go to Revelation 13, you see that the final beast empire looks like all of these, and those are Middle Eastern territories, and those are. You know, even the Grecian Empire, it was Antiochus Epiphanes, a Greek leader of Syria. They stationed him in Syria. He was an incredible picture of the Antichrist, a prototype, a picture, a foreshadowing of the Antichrist, as he went into the temple and blasphemed Yahweh, the God of the Bible, the God of creation, and smeared pig's blood all over the inside of the temple walls. He was a picture of the Antichrist, yet he was Grecian, but it was Syria. So it's interesting, this whole Middle Eastern territory is identified in Revelation 13 as this final beast, which I find incredible because when we read about the Gog-Magog war in the end, when these nations that surround Israel are destroyed by fire, you have the mention of, you know, Libya, you have the mention of Persia, which is today's Iran, which was named by Adolf Hitler, renamed by Adolf Hitler from the name Aryan, which is interesting because a lot of the Muslims united with Hitler to destroy the Jews in those days. So when we look at the prophetic picture, we're seeing a confederation of Islamic countries, and there's several countries mentioned in the Gog-Magog War, which I personally believe it will be the final conflict, because if you read about that war in chapter 38 and 39 of Ezekiel, we see that it's not destroyed by human armies, that God destroys it with fire, which is the conflagration that takes place at the end at Armageddon as well.
Could I just comment, you know, you talk about the two legs of this this vision, this creature that is described. And, of course, Rome had two parts. Most people don't realize that there were two segments. Diocletian divided the Roman Empire into the eastern and western part. The western part, of course, existed until 476. The eastern part existed until the 1400s. So they were separate. They started out looking pretty much the same. But of course, the Western Roman Empire, one leg of the Roman Empire was soon destroyed. The other one persisted for 1,000 years after the West fell. So that's an interesting thing. I've never thought of that before. Go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, you are so, I mean, you couldn't have mapped better what you just said for me. What you just said was like, you explained what I was going to say in a minute from a prophetic standpoint, but you gave the historical data that I think supports the view that I feel very strongly about. And I was saying this for years, long before Islam and the Middle Eastern nations seemed anything beyond, you know, a bunch of people in the desert that had nothing. And it seemed like a crazy view, but I was like, no, Revelation 13 identifies these areas as growing, and providentially God has allowed them to have oil and negotiating power, but they're not alone because the United States plays a surprising role in this whole thing, which I'll get into in a moment. But you just mentioned that the eastern part of the Roman Empire lasted into the 1400s. Now think of this. John in the book of Revelation, he receives from the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees this great beast, and I hope your audience can stay with us on this and just track. In Revelation 17, it's described in Revelation 13. It's this great great beast. It has 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, it's very simple. The 10 horns represent the 10 nations that will give their power to the beast in this end-time battle against Israel, against Jesus Christ at Armageddon. But the 7 heads, most of them are historical. He says to John, 5 of the heads have been, 1 is, and 1 is yet to come. So there's 5 that he identifies that have been, and then 1 is, and 1 is yet to come. Now, of course, the one that was in existence at that time was the Roman Empire. That was one of the heads. But there's 5 that have been. And if we go back, we look at those 5 empires prior to the Roman Empire that actually ruled Israel. And we sometimes read our Bibles from an American-centric view, which is not really the way we should be reading it. It's Judeo-centric. It's Jerusalem-centric. And when we look at these empires from the biblical vantage point, from the Apostle John as a Jewish Christian man, it's those empires that have ruled over Israel and what have you. So if you go back prior to the one head that is, the Roman Empire, which was ruling Jerusalem at the time, you have 5 empires. You have Assyria. I'm sorry, you have Egypt first, and then you have Assyria, which took the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. And then you have, after Assyria, the rise of Babylon, just 150-some years later, taking out the southern kingdom, the Benjamin and Judah. And they reigned for quite some time. That's a head of gold. And then you have the Medo-Persians rise up. That's number 4. Then you have the Grecians rise up, Greeks, with Alexander the Great, like a leopard, very small army compared to the Medo-Persians, why it's described like a leopard, to the lumbering bear, which is what the Medo-Persians were. And Alexander takes them over quite quickly. That's the 5th head. There's one that is. That's the Roman Empire. Now, what empire? Now, a lot of people forget, and that's why I was just amazed that you just said what you said. A lot of people forget that the Roman Empire, they don't realize, because they're looking at the West too much, and they're not looking at it from a Judeo-centric mindset. There's 2 legs, as you pointed out. And you know a lot more about prophecy than you let on, Dr. Stan, because that 1 leg existed into the 1400s. And that was in the East, and that's what ruled over Israel. That was the Roman Empire. So the one that John said is, 5 have been, 1 is, there's 7 heads in the beast, 5 have been, 1 is, the Roman Empire. That existed into the 1400s, and they moved their capital to Constantinople, Turkey. And then after the 1400s, what empire became the 7th? Because 5 had been, 1 is, that's 6. What was the 7th empire in succession? It was the Ottoman Empire. It was the Islamic Empire. And that's the 7th head. And then it says one of the heads will be wounded, as in the death. That empire was wounded. But then it says the 8th, the Antichrist, will come out of the 7th. To me, that fits all the other prophecies of it being an Islamic beast. Now, how does the United States fit in? Well, a lot of people aren't going to like this, but if we look at the truth regarding our nation, we have a very strong, not only Judeo-Christian influence, but we have a very strong occult influence, which you're very aware of. And I hear that music, so I'm going to let you take over, and we can pick it up on the other end.
Well, you know, the thing is that until people understand, you know, certainly the occult influence here in America, and it really didn't start out that way. It started out predominantly with a Christian influence, but the occultists were here at the time. We had the Declaration of Independence. You will see that manifested certainly in the emblem on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, because basically it was the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. The triangle containing the glorified eye. That is the symbol of the mystery religions. It's been around for about 4,000 years. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Pastor Joe, go right ahead.
Well, yeah, I was saying, how does the United States fit in this? And we can back up and start tracing the steps of the Muslim Brotherhood and how a lot of this is coming together. But I, before I get into the United States...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 316 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Doing everything we can to unite and reconstitute the Holy, pardon me, the Ottoman Empire. People don't understand, but if you have listened to our interviews with Paul Williams, you'll know that it was the CIA and certainly got Mr. Gulen, who is the wealthiest man in the United States. He has assets of over $50 billion, mostly from drug money, and he is the one, of course, who would topple the traditionally pro-Western government of Turkey, and this was in 2002, and moved it into the radical Islamic camp. So what Pastor Joe is talking about goes right along with our interviews earlier this week with Paul, who certainly is probably the only investigative reporter that is pointing out that they are reconstituting the Ottoman Empire, and certainly drawing in the countries of Turkestan and Uzbekistan and Kurdistan. They're all joining together in this radical Islamic movement. Go right ahead.
No, that's amazing, Dr. Stan, because I didn't hear that interview. And it's funny, he gave it to you from a geopolitical standpoint and as a financier and what have you. I'm looking at it from a biblical prophetic standpoint, and it's quite interesting that I wasn't even sure what we're going to talk about tonight, you know. So it's quite amazing. When you think about it as well, it says that this harlot will ride the beast And it says the beast will hate the harlot. So there's this relationship between this beast, which Revelation 13 describes as this whole Middle Eastern Islamic confederacy that will come about, and this whore, this harlot that rides her because she committed fornication with the kings of the earth, and certainly our leaders do. They're trying to keep the West in a certain position and what have you for a period of time anyway. She rides the beast, and it says the beast hates the woman. And eventually, and it's right before the end of the tribulation period, the beast devours the woman, and she's destroyed in 1 hour. What's interesting about that is the Middle East is being ridden, much of the Middle East, by the United States of America. We're trying to dictate policy, whether it's in Iran whether it's in Afghanistan or Iraq or Libya right now and Egypt earlier and what have you. But at the same time, the Middle East hates America. They call us the Great Satan, and they love to see us destroyed and go up in flames. I'm sorry. I mean, to me, there's no other prophetic perspective that fits, you know, hand in glove quite like this. And this is something I've been concerned about for years, but it's been in the last 5-10 years where it's been totally crystallizing, and it's gone, come off the pages of Scripture to actually be materializing before our eyes.
Well, I think, you know, what's really so interesting, Chris, how would a nation go up in a sea of flames? Why would we go up with nuclear attack? And of course, we did an interview this afternoon with the former man who led the SALT negotiations, the nuclear negotiations, Ambassador Henry Cooper, personal friend. He will tell you certainly that the Reagan administration, we made all sorts of unbelievable concessions as far as preventing America having any defense against a nuclear attack, and certainly the most recent negotiations did the same. Certainly, Russia and China are preparing for a nuclear attack on America, and our leaders are doing everything to block any sort of a defense for America. Now, from a logical point of view, that doesn't make any sense. But if you understand we're being set up for nuclear destruction, it makes a great deal of sense. And of course, this would fit right into these prophecies that the time will come when America will be taken out of the equation. Go right ahead.
No, amazing. Dr. Stan, you had an interview about the SALT Treaty before I came
yes,
on.
Yes, just this afternoon with Henry Cooper, his personal friend. And he was actually the chief negotiator for the Reagan administration during that time. And of course, he's very upset with what's going on today and points out that we are restricted, according to this latest treaty just signed within the last couple of months, from having any defense against a nuclear attack. Now, that is the most incredible thing in the world. Why would our leaders do everything they could to block a defense for America? It doesn't make any sense unless you understand the prophetic implications. And that is that there's going to be a nuclear war. The other side's going to be defended. We're not going to have any defense. And America, as we know it, is going to be destroyed. It doesn't mean everybody's going to be killed, but it does mean that the structure of our society is going to be changed forever, and America will no longer be the great power that it's been. All of these things fit into prophecy, but the average American can't see it because they can't connect the dots. Well, if you listen to Radio Liberty all the time, hopefully you're going to be able to, and as we explore these ideas with Pastor Joe Schimmel. I mean, I haven't heard one thing you said tonight that differs in any way with what we're seeing unfolding historically. Well, Joe, you go right ahead. Now, this is not a nice subject. People don't like to hear this sort of thing. But we have to be factual. We have to point to scriptures. We have to certainly understand what's going on. I believe God is going to look after the Christians. On the other hand, all of the Christians may very well be, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they'll be raptured. Maybe they'll be, it depends on whether they believe in a pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture. But the worst thing that will happen is that we die and go to heaven and be with the Lord. But at least we have that guarantee of eternal salvation. So you pack up the story, Joe, Pastor Joe. We can't live in constant fear.
Yeah, amen. And that's the thing about the prophetic perspective is, if you don't have a prophetic perspective, first of all, you don't know where it's going. You don't know how it ends. You don't have any real hope. We're basically, you know, the victims of the elite, and all we can do is sit back and complain and hope to overcome them. Where in reality, from a biblical perspective, we win in the end. God wins. Jesus Christ, the creator of the heavens, the earth, he reigns, he rules. The wicked are punished. The elitists who have committed so many injustices will stand before God, and they will be separated from God in hell for eternity. And those who put their trust in Christ, have their sins forgiven, can know. I mean, we can read the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, after Babylon is destroyed in chapter 19, and we see heavenly Jerusalem and God's reign, where Jesus Christ rules the rod of iron. But getting back to the prophetic scenario we've been looking at is with regard to the United States, and not just the United States. I mean, it talks about Babylon going up in 1 hour. In those days, I mean, even John's day, if you saw a city go up in an hour, especially one that's described like Babylon is in chapter 17 and 18, it would be absolutely impossible, unheard of, because it took months and often years, even with the war machine that the Romans had, it took a long period of time to overtake even Jerusalem, which they were already ruling. Babylon, though, goes up in an hour.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Joe is simply pointing out that at the end of the days when John was writing the Revelation, the idea, as he expressed in his writings, that Babylon would be destroyed in an hour. It was impossible. Ordinarily, he wanted to take a city down, you lay siege to it, and it could take a matter of weeks or months. It usually took years for the great city to be able to overcome it. How could you possibly destroy a great city, a great nation in an hour? Well, certainly John didn't have any idea when he was writing this. But today, it's a whole different world. We know about nuclear weapons. We know their frightening ability. If you've ever been to the Church of St. John the Divine, and certainly in New York City, why, of course, there's one of the pillars there. This isn't a cult center, incidentally. This is not approaching things from a Christian point of view, but from a cult point of view. And you'll actually see, of course, depicted there in the carving of the stone, why the toppling of these, the Wall Street, the New York Stock Exchange, the Brooklyn Bridge, the Empire State Building, you'll see them all coming down. Depicted here in this occult center, and it's really quite a revelation. You can go up on the internet, you can actually see the pictures of it. And whoever did this depiction there, it depicted at this church, and this is a sculpture. Why they were anticipating that New York is the great harlot, the center of the great harlot. Go right ahead.
Well, it's interesting because at the very end, when the Islamic nations, and not just the Islamic nations, but it says all the nations of the earth, there'll be this confederacy, and I'd like to later, in a little bit more time, we could talk about the Antichrist, the false prophet, and how what Islam is waiting for in the 12th Imam fits the prophetic picture incredibly and ties back to the spirit of Antichrist mentioned in the Bible and Gnosticism, and how Islam has actually come out of Gnosticism. But it's interesting, when the nations surround Israel, it says that God, you know, will make Israel, Jerusalem specifically, a pot of trembling, a burdensome stone for the nations. And God says he'll judge in the book of Joel, chapter 3, those who have sought to divide up his land, which has been taken place by the United Nations already and will continue to be enforced. He says when he returns in Joel 3, he will judge those who have divided up his land. I mean, when is a land in the center of world attention, been divided up, and of course God says this would be Jerusalem, which it's quite amazing what's going on there, but it says the nations will surround her in chapter 12 of Zechariah, and it says that God will protect her, and it says she'll be like a fire pot in the midst of a, you know, that explodes, you know, and it's interesting because it says the nations around her will be destroyed with fire. But in chapter 14, when it describes how they're destroyed by fire, one of the means that's used, it says God brings confusion upon the nations, and they you know, they bring their weapons upon each other. Now, what's interesting about that is, you know, Israel has what they call, you know, the Samson Project, and that is if they don't know who's going to nuke them for sure or try to nuke them, so they're telling their enemies around them that if we get nuked, you know, we're going to nuke everybody around us to let you know it's going to be a massive deterrent. Well, there's going to be mass confusion at that time, and there's going to be probably a lot of bombing at each other. And listen to what it says in Zechariah 14:12. It says, "This is the plague the Lord will use to strike the people from the nations who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh, says that their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." This is while they're standing up. This is another, I mean, how could that take place? This is even long before the book of Revelation was written, but now we know, you know, 200 million degrees Fahrenheit while you're standing up, you basically dissolve. And God's warning that in the end times there'll be this. Now, Christians, thank God, as you pointed out, those who fear God, the Bible says God makes his covenant known to those who fear him. Those who fear him, God reveals himself to them, even as Cornelius feared God, and God revealed himself in the gospel of Jesus Christ to Cornelius. And anybody who truly wants to do God's will responds to God's grace as God draws them. It says that Jesus draws all men to himself, and he reveals himself to them. Jesus said, "Whoever wills to do the will of the Father will know the doctrine." Those who truly want to do the Father's will come to an understanding of who God is and how to come to him through Christ and be forgiven. And we will not be appointed to wrath. I personally, Dr. Stanley, I don't personally hold the pre-trib rapture view. I do believe the church will go through the tribulation, but I believe even as God protected his people in Goshen, the Israelites in Egypt, the Hebrews then, he'll protect the believers. In fact, when we look at the judgment during the tribulation period, we have what's called, you know, people call the tribulation saints, a great multitude that no man can number. And it says it's the people that worship the beast that get the grievous sword in their hands, that God's wrath is pointed at. But it says that we're not appointed to wrath, so I believe God will protect the believers from his wrath. Believers will suffer tribulation and persecution. Revelation 13 says of the saints that some of them will go into captivity, prison. Others will be beheaded. The scriptures tell us in Revelation 20, and they'll be killed with the sword. Revelation chapter 13, by the way, beheading is the way the Muslims still execute to this day. I think we can talk about it a little bit when we talk about what the Antichrist will look at from a prophetic picture. But God protects believers, and for us, you know, annihilation is glorification. If we were destroyed or killed, that's what's happened to millions of Christians through the ages. And as a believer in Christ, I mean, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But I'm only pointing out at this point that there's many things in the prophetic scriptures, like Revelation, that we couldn't really understand until now. It talks about the two witnesses that are put to death by the Antichrist, and their bodies lay in the streets for 3.5 days before God resurrects them. But it says, while their bodies lay dead, it says, all the nations of the earth will look upon their dead bodies. Well, how could that happen before CNN and Fox News? And, you know, it wasn't a possibility. There's many other scriptures like that in Revelation, like the mark of the beast, the number of the Antichrist, 666, people being forced to take it on the right hand or forehead to buy or sell. That, again, wouldn't be something that they could enforce in the ancient world. But now with the computer age, it would be quite easy. But I'd love to, you know, if you feel it's a good direction to go into, to get a little deeper into this and talk about, okay, what is the Islamic view of, you know, the Antichrist, or I should say the Christ, because their view of the Christ that they're looking for, I should say the 12th Imam, the Christ-like figure, to come in the end, who will destroy the Jews and non-compliant Christians, it fits exactly what the scriptures say so often about the coming Antichrist. And it's very interesting. It's as though Islamic, you know, Muhammad, his followers, took the Antichrist in the Bible and said, hey, let's make him, you know, our Savior who comes back in the end. And it's quite astonishing, because when we read the 1 John, 2 John, 3 John,
We're talking about letters that were written to Ephesus, which were in Asia Minor and Turkey, that Ephesus was, and he warns about the spirit of Antichrist that's already among them. He identifies the spirit of Antichrist in First John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, as those who deny the Father and the Son. And Islam is based upon, essentially, the Quran is a war manual against Christians and Jews and against those who believe that Jesus has a Father, and that's our Father God, and that Jesus is the Son of God. John was written to combat the Gnostics. The Gnostics were teaching that you really couldn't know God, that the ultimate depth, and Jesus is just another eon, important, but he's just an eon. He's not really the Son of the Father, and you really, God couldn't have a Son. John calls this in 1 John 4, the spirit of Antichrist. He says, he who denies the Father and the Son, this is Antichrist, So he says, many Antichrists are already in the world. You've heard that the Antichrist is coming, singular, but even now many, plural, are in the world. The spirit of Antichrist would continue. So it's interesting, when you look at the spirit of Antichrist, this was imbibed in what we call incipient Gnosticism in the latter part of the first century. It was full-blown in the Gnostic Gospels in the second and third century, where they ended up worshiping Lucifer, the serpent, as the one who gave Sophia the wisdom, and we need to worship Lucifer, and we need to reject Yahweh and his laws, because Lucifer is going to set us free from the tyranny of Yahweh. And in the West, we have what's called Neo-Gnosticism, or the New Age movement. But in much of the East, we have another form of Neo-Gnosticism. It's Islam. In fact, Muhammad took different things from Gnostic Gospels. We read in the Gnostic Gospels that Jesus wasn't crucified. It was Judas that was crucified in his place, and they messed up, so Jesus wasn't really crucified. We read about Jesus as a little boy, and he turns these clay pigeons into living pigeons. He claps his hands and what have you. These stories are very similarly told in the Quran from the Gnostic Gospels. But the critical thing that Islam took from Gnosticism was a spirit that denies the Father and the Son. And where will the Antichrist set up his capital? In Jerusalem. Where will he seek to be worshipped? In Jerusalem, on the Temple Mount. The Jews aren't allowed to go up the Temple Mount. It's run by the Muslims. And on top of the Temple Mount, the Muslims have built the Dome of the Rock. And the temple is where God was to be worshipped. And in the Dome of the Rock, over and over again, it says, Allah is God, and he has no son. It's a denial of God the Father, God the Son. It's the spirit of Antichrist. It's all paving the way for the ultimate Antichrist.
Well, it's fascinating as we see this whole incredible story unfold. It really is. Of course, the Mahdi then, of course, would be the counterpart of the Antichrist. He would be the Muslim part, counterpart of the Antichrist in the Christian religion. Go right ahead, Pastor.
You nailed it, because I believe that's exactly what's happening. In the West, we have New Agers preparing people for the Antichrist. We have New Agers, Barbara Marks Hubbard and Neil Donald Walsh and many others, Williamson, preparing and the counterpart of the New Age movement within the church, the emerging church, for a social gospel that is opening up to a lot of the New Age ideas. The emerging church is, I believe, playing Satan's role in the church, trying to prepare the young people for this same figure. You see a lot of the same writings against blasting and bludgeoning and bloodying the bride of Christ, the body of Christ in New Age writings, and how there's going to have to be this incredible cleansing, wiping out this cancer. You see that also in different form within much of the emergent material, blasting the body of Christ, not realizing what they're doing in the name of Christ. But in the West, Islam has been trained for years that the Jews are pigs. In almost every mosque around the world, Muhammad is quoted that in this last day battle, the rocks will cry out and say, hey, there's a Jew behind me, come and slay him. And the people of the book are the Jews and the Christians, but the Christians who don't comply with Sharia law, they'll be put to death as well. And that's those who refuse to take the mark of the beast. Now, what's incredible, Dr. Stan, is that it talks about a covenant that the Antichrist will make with the many for 7 years. Some believe the many are the Jews. Some believe the many refers to the nations. It doesn't quantify or qualify, I should say, exactly what the many refers to. It's very likely the nations. We can't be sure. But it's interesting. It says it'll be for 7 years. And in the middle of that those 7 years, he will set himself up as God and show himself as being God Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And it's interesting because we have in the book of Revelation 42 months. That's in the middle of the week, the middle of the seven-year period where the Antichrist sets up his reign. It's interesting that those who are following the teachings of the 12th Imam, which most of the Shiites are looking forward to this 12th Imam. Sunnis are looking for various vague pictures of this coming world leader as well in different ways. It's interesting. They say that he's going to make a pact, an agreement, for a seven-year period, just like it says in Revelation and Daniel. But it's also interesting because it says in the book of Daniel that he will seek to change the times and the laws. Well, when people go into Sharia law, the laws are certainly changed, as your educated audience knows, and the times are changed as well. No longer is the calendar Gregorian or around B.C., you know, based on Christ coming, and, or what they even call the common era today. It's based on Muhammad and his life and what have you. And whatever Sharia law takes place, especially if it's in a Western dominated viewpoint, they lose their calendar, they lose their laws. But the Antichrist, his mode of execution, it says in Revelation 20, will be beheading. And there's many Muslim scholars that talk about that this is the best way to execute. It talks about in the Quran to behead your enemies in one place. Another place it talks about striking the neck. So Islamic scholars will debate whether it's beheading or slitting the throat. Either way, it's pretty gruesome, and they typically, in a lot of places, have beheaded their enemies. We have many, many scriptures. And now this is where it gets really interesting. The Islamic Christ, or Imam, will go into Jerusalem. That's exactly what the Bible says about the Antichrist. But it's very interesting because I don't think that the Muslims aren't going to confuse the 12th Imam with Jesus. They believe Jesus will come back, not the Jesus that you and I believe in, Stan, because Islam doesn't have the same God we have. They deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They deny the incarnation, that God became a man. That's not God to them. They deny the triunity of God, that he is triune and what have you. So they believe that when this 12th Imam comes, Jesus will return as well. But Jesus will be able to pray. 12th Imam will ask him to pray. But he'll take a step back and back of the 12th Imam and defer to the 12th Imam as the one that should be exalted. Now, it's interesting because in the book of Revelation, it talks about the beast, the Antichrist, but it talks about also the false prophet in Revelation 13 and Revelation 19, verses 19 through 21, who will do miracles to get people to worship the beast. Now, they believe Jesus will come back and support the 12th Imam and tell people to worship him. That is incredible because the Bible says of the false prophet, he tells people to worship the Antichrist, that he looks like a lamb in Revelation 13, but speaks like a dragon. So he's really energized by Satan, and he's the ultimate false Christ, but he will be the false prophet. And the Bible says the false prophet will look like a lamb, but speak like a dragon. He'll get people to worship the Antichrist. Islam, the 12th Imam's coming, and Jesus, they say, is going to tell us to follow him. This, it's absolutely startling when you see the parallels. I mean, if somebody does not believe the Bible is the Word of God, they're not looking. They're not studying. They're not realizing. They need to just get in the book and say, God, you know, show me all these wonderful treasures you have, because so many of the things, Dr. Stan, that you talk about are pointed out in the Scripture as true and real. There's so many other parallels that I think would warrant us describing, and that is that, you know, the Antichrist will be a political, military leader. In Revelation 13, it says, who can make war with him? And he unites the world. It says, all nations and kindreds and tongues, they're going to follow him. And the 12th Imam, he's a military leader, and it's the false prophet from our viewpoint and from their viewpoint, this Jesus, which is not Jesus, which will bring world religion and cause people to worship him. And the Bible says all the world, every nation, kindred, and tongue, will worship the beast. And so there'll be a worldwide religion as well, which is exactly what the New Agers are trying to pull off as well. So we have this incredible picture, outline of what this all will look like.
And of course, the internationalists want a world religion. They want to destroy Christianity. This is why they've taken God and prayer and the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And this is why they're pushing this alternative religion today. They've infiltrated our churches, and certainly they've changed the music of the church. They've changed the message of the church. They've infiltrated the seminaries. And these things is all part of this effort to bring about this, not only the one world government, but the one world religion. I mean, really, we're living in exciting times. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? We'll be back in just a moment. Pastor Joe Schimmel. Pastor Joe, you go right ahead.
Well, yeah, from what you were just saying, again, it's exactly what the Scriptures prophesy to take place. And you know...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey water unit. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.
The fact that our leaders are doing everything to be sure America has no defense against a nuclear attack, it just doesn't make sense. But it makes sense if you understand that they're preparing us for a nuclear attack. Why would they do that? Well, I'm sure that many of them don't even understand, but they are under control. If you read the material we have from the other side, we have a little pamphlet called The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy that will tell you it's written by Alice Bailey, who is a Luciferian. The words were channeled to her by a demonic spirit named Jadal Kuhl, and he basically said that they have their people. Some of them know exactly what's going on. They're working at the highest levels of our government, of finance, of certainly education, of education. They're working at all key positions in our society. Some of them actually know what they're doing, many don't know, but they're being guided. It's almost like the ideas being channeled to them and they're following. These are not my concepts, they're their concepts. And if you want to get that document, it's in our syllabus on the dark secret. That's why you need to get my talk, first of all, certainly on the Brotherhood of Darkness, or get the book, or get the Brotherhood of Darkness special for the book, the tape, and of course the talk. Study it.
Then get our talk on the forbidden secret, the hidden, the dark secret, get the syllabuses that go with them, and study them. And then, of course, I hope you'll want to get a copy of this, the 2 hours we're spending with Joe Schimmel, and begin then seeing how this applies to unfolding of history. We are living, well, I believe, in prophetic times. And if you don't have a personal relationship with our Lord, you need it, please go to my website, RadioLiberty.com, because you can get all of the items I've talked about. You can order them by calling 1-800-544-8927. But go to our website and pull down, go to two websites there. We have two banners. One is the story of Jesus. It's simply the chronological story of the greatest story ever told. It's the story of the life of Jesus according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I read something very similar it was 60 years ago when I was about 20 years old. Had a profound impact on me. This is a website. Has no, certainly no advertising. You couldn't give it any money. The website is there. It's beautifully done. You, as a Christian, you'll be proud of it. And, of course, there is a consultant there you can contact. And she will talk to you or by email. And she will, they have any questions about the story of Christianity, why she'll be glad to consult with you. We have another website. It's called How Do You Know You're Saved? We suggest you go there and link to that. Because at this time in history, we've been doing this for 15 years, but I think we're going to have to emphasize more and more the spiritual aspect of what's going on. Because if we simply talk about philosophy and culture and ideas and politics, why, we miss what this is really about. And that is the spiritual. So those two websites, the story of Jesus, and of course the How Do You Know You're Saved. Now, of course, we hope you go to the others. But we want you to be sure that you do have a personal relationship with our Lord. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us, we'd love to hear from you. That's 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Well, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders, for our ministers, for the other Christian ministries that are out there, for Joe, Pastor Joe, who I've known, who does wonderful, wonderful material. We do carry many of his videos with us, certainly on Gnosticism, his video on Dr. Stan back here with Pastor Joe Schimmel. And Joe, I got so involved in our conversation, I forgot during the last hour for you to get an opportunity to put out your website so people can go to your website and learn more about your ministry. And so if you're going to looking for a church in Southern California, here's where you ought to be going. Pastor, how can they get in touch with your website and your ministry?
Well, our fellowship is called Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, and we have a website that you can link to also from goodfight.org. Goodfight.org is one I hope everybody bookmarks, because at goodfight.org we offer a lot of videos. You can also get them, many of those videos, from your ministry, obviously, Dr. Stan. We also have articles that, you know, I try to keep up
We have a theater, which is one of the you know, favorite features for a lot of people. We have a theater that has, if they go to our website and click theater, and they can see an incredible amount of clips on popular culture, a lot of eye-popping, you know, jaw-dropping clips on how Satan is using music, how he's using Hollywood, and we're always adding to that. And I have articles under Cup of Joe that just keep people up on what's going on. I'm getting ready to finish a couple articles on Rob Bell and the emerging church, which is basically a spiritual cancer within the church that is taking people's eyes away from the historical Jesus onto more of a new agey, touchy-feely Jesus who more and more resembles the false Christ New Age movement. I'll be doing a little bit on an article coming up on the rise of Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood and what have you, and what may be going on right now in regard to consolidation of these nations. So we'll be looking at that. And so we try to keep contemporary. Our most popular video has been for years, it still is. I'm trying to update it. You'll be one of the first ones to know, Dr. Sam, when I get the soldier's soul, that the new one's done, and I'm getting a lot closer. Our trip to Uganda will take me a couple weeks, and then I'll be back, and we're going to be trying to finish that up. But it covers a lot of the, it'll be covering a lot of the newer artists, like, Lady Gaga and Jay-Z and Rihanna and many others that are so popular today. And it's the same old song and dance. It shows that same philosophy of do what thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law, Satanism. I mean, I've got, like, I think 25-30 bands I show in this new version coming out stating, do what thou wilt. I mean, in the old King James 1611 Elizabethan English, do what thou wilt, quoting Crowley. And that's an amazing number of bands that have just jumped on the bandwagon pushing this lie, which, of course, all prepares for the Antichrist, who is called the man of sin, the man of lawlessness. As you mentioned earlier, it's a rejection of God's commands as to how to live life and how to love him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors, ourselves, and we become God. And that kind of segues well into, and they can get that video there or through your website, the older one that it's a very powerful tool. A lot of people have written into us to come to Christ through that video. A number of people, the church I pastor, came to Christ through that video. So if you have a skeptic, it's good to put in their hands because they see evidence not only for God, but they see evidence for Satan and that, hey, this is the real deal. There are spiritual entities that are fallen that God is allowing to exist, and there's tests going on to separate who's going to submit to God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and be cleansed and be forgiven versus those who are going to swell the ranks of Satan in preparation for the judgment of the great day.
Well, let me just interrupt and say that the DVD Pastor Joe's talking about is They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. If you haven't seen it, you need to. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Absolute required watching for anybody who has any questions about what's really going on today or the spiritual battle taking place. And recently I saw in the Wall Street Journal an article about Lady Gaga, and at one point she said, how she'd broken out crying because she thought the devil was taking over her life. She was being taken over by either demons or the devil. And I had to think of you and smile because, of course, this is really what has been expressed by so many people in the music industry.
Well, it's funny you brought that up because I hadn't seen that quote in the Wall Street Journal, but I'd seen it.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Go right ahead, Pastor.
Yeah, I had seen in an interview where she said basically the same thing, and that she contacted Deepak Chopra because of this. She felt, a literal, demonic entity, which she felt was Satan, had embraced her, was getting hold of her. And she contacted the New Ager, Deepak Chopra, about it and asked him what she should do about it. And he said, well, that's just your creativity. Just embrace it, And I thought, wow, isn't that just like, New Age Council? Embrace the darkness. And New Agers have been conned into embracing Satan when he comes as an angel of light. And it's very easy to be deceived by him as an angel of light. If you don't know what the scriptures say, you cry out to the one true God and embrace Jesus Christ, obviously you'll be delivered from that stuff. But he was letting her know that she's to embrace as just creativity this entity that he says, well, it doesn't really exist, it's just your creative side. Just embrace it I thought, well, isn't it interesting, because Lady Gaga, she states that she tried to become a better songwriter, like, you know, David Bowie and Mick Jagger, her idols, by, you know, taking drugs and what have you, but it didn't really work, although she says that she'd received some inspiration in another interview through drugs, that she still receives inspiration that way, which the Bible identifies as pharmakeia and a doorway to the occult and satanic powers. But she said she really found a creative spark when she became possessed by a spirit. And she says the spirit is her dead aunt, you know. And the spirit possessed her body and gave her a vision of a full-blown, you know, business plan regarding her music and everything. And it's just all unfolded. Well, Dr. Stan, you know very well, and Christians know that aunts and uncles, they don't possess our bodies, you know. You know, they, upon death, they're in God's hands, and they go to heaven or hell. And the absence of the body for the Christians, be present with the Lord, as we mentioned earlier. It's demon spirits, not even good angels. They don't possess their bodies, but the Bible mentions demon spirits do. And she became so disturbed because of what's going on a spiritual level. She even had to purchase, I read in the article just a little while ago, a couple months back, that she purchased, as strange as it sounds, spent X amount of hundreds of dollars on this ghost-busting machine. This machine that would help exorcise the spirits that are backstage while she's doing her concerts. Well, the truth is that the Bible says if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But the scriptures warn that if you are in rebellion to God, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and her whole act is basically a perversion and the exaltation of evil and the exaltation of aberrant and perverse sexuality. And it's sad because she's dragging a lot of people down with her, and she's definitely being used by demonic spirits, as so many of these artists are, and that's why the Bible...
Hold that thought, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, first by Pastor Joel, simply talking about Lady Gaga. Basically, of course, she actually talks about the fact that she's possessed by a spirit of an aunt or an uncle, something of the sort. And here's a woman, very obviously very talented, trained as a classical musician, a bright, intelligent, who has actually, in my opinion, embraced the dark side. She's making, $100 million a year, something like that. Great spectacle, but of course I believe that she's playing with demonic spirits, and it is because she is certainly working with the dark side that she's doing so well. But there's going to be a terrible price to pay, because if you look at the history of so many of the people in the music world who have made a deal with the devil, why their lives are short, and of course their deaths are tragic. And we see this pattern over and over again. If you've never seen, they sold their souls for rock and roll. It will be one of the most important experiences of your life, and apparently Joe's going to update that. But, and there's so many recent examples. I'll never forget watching a 60-minute interview between Ben Bradley before he died and Bob Dylan, Ben Bradley's asking Bob Dylan, why are you still on tour? You know, we've been doing this for 30 years, and you said you don't have to do this now, it's not for money. And Dylan looks down, he said, I made a deal. Oh, says Ben Bradley, who did you make a deal with? And Dylan looks at the floor and said, with the guy who runs this world. And
yeah,
the other world.
Really said, that's right.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. It was absolutely amazing.
And I'm sure that most people saw it, that they shrugged and said, that didn't make any sense. Well, of course it made sense.
Yeah,
know that the guy who runs this world and the other world is. And so did Dylan and Ben Bradley had no idea what they were talking about, and they left it in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, no, that was an amazing interview. You have stars that people, they don't even... Katy Perry is one of the biggest pop acts right now, and a lot of people aren't aware that she was a Christian singer, professing Christian singer. Her parents are, very much involved in ministry and evangelism and what have you, and she had a Christian album called Keep the Faith. There's a gal that they flew in from another state, I think Florida, and her dad said, my daughter went and saw her when she was a Christian artist, and she signed her, album, or she signed something and wrote Keep the Faith, name of her album, but she's abandoned her faith. She didn't keep it. And what's interesting is Katy Perry, we show in our new video, and it's not out yet, but the new one, where she's being asked, you know, the question about, didn't you have a Christian album? And she says, yeah, you know, I wanted to be really big, like Amy Grant. I wanted to be, you know, the biggest Christian artist, and it just didn't work out, you know. And then she says, and so I sold my soul to the devil, you know. And whether she's saying it tongue-in-cheek or not, you look at what she's doing, and she's making songs like, and I mean, the rest of history, she's one of the biggest artists, like Lady Gaga right now. And she has definitely opened herself up to these forces, and she's got a song, one of her most popular songs ever is, you know, I Kissed a Girl. You know, she sings about kissing a girl and liking it, and they were very popish, sucks the listener in, and all of a sudden these children, many of them growing up in Christian backgrounds, their parents not realizing a lot of what they're hearing, they're singing along with this jingle about kissing another girl and liking it, and then the parents, as the children get older, they wonder why their orientation sexually is deviating and different from, you know, what would be natural and what have you, and it's heartbreaking because our culture is being transformed before our eyes, and there are messages the Bible warns about. Paul said, you know, the Spirit speaks expressly, the Holy Spirit, in the last days, you know, he says, you know, there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, and spirits, fallen angels, are very seductive, and they have doctrines that they channel through not only you know, people like Barbara Marx Hubbard and Neil Donald Walsh, but through musicians, you know, and before I was a Christian, that's what happened to me. I opened myself up to the occult and the dark side, not realizing it was a dark side. I thought I was just getting into science, you know, the power of the subconscious mind and psycho-cybernetics. A couple books I was looking at as a teenager telling me how to program my subconscious mind, and as I began to program it, so I thought, I opened myself up to a bombardment of occult experiences and demonic entities that I ridiculed Christianity. I thought Christianity was an incredibly, you know, ridiculous worldview because it believed in supernatural evil, the devil. I mean, I was a young guy at the time and incredibly ignorant of the fact that most religions understood there's a satanic forces out there, and most of them believe in demonic forces by way of experience. But I had opened myself up to these things by rejecting God and began channeling lyrics that were pushing the New Age movement. I became basically a Hindu. I was initiated into an Eastern worldview through my own lyrics, learning things from my own songs that I didn't know, and reincarnation and, you know, Little Miss Medium and Little Miss Muppet. Can you waken the dead masters of your sleep? I didn't know mediums contacted masters and channeled them, but I was writing all about this as a teenager, and then when my experiences became darker and darker and more evil, and on a supernatural level became evil, I all of a sudden realized, you know what? I've been played like a flute. I started to question what was going on, and I cried out to God in the midst of my experiences and supernatural experience I would go through that I could never stop until it was over. But when I cried out to God, it stopped. I went through a similar episode a week or so later, cried out to God again, wondering if the other time was a coincidence, and it stopped again. And then I embraced Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, opened up the Bible, and realized, wow, this book talks about history being linear, moving toward its culmination at a battle called Armageddon, and that there's a battle between good and evil. It's not just physical, but as you emphasize, Dr. Stan, and I'm so glad you do, that it's spiritual, and there's more to the picture than meets the eye. And I realized in the Word, the Scripture, you know, we wrestle against flesh and blood, and I looked at this book that God, you know, claimed to be inspired by God, and saw all these prophecies that had already come to pass, and others that were coming to pass in our day, and God had left His signature that, hey, He is the author of this book, and He made it clear that those who stand for Him, Christ said, all the nations will persecute you for my name's sake, and that's one of many prophecies being fulfilled today. But I decided, you know what, I claim to be a seeker of truth, and this is where it has led me, and I'm going to embrace truth. I'm not looking for a belief that I'm happy with. I want the truth no matter what it is, and I embrace Jesus Christ, and then, boy, Dr. Stan, sure glad I am, because first 18 years of life, experimenting a lot and trying to find my way those last years before I became a Christian. But since I've embraced Christ, I'm 47 years old now, and I've never looked back. There's not one day I thought, you know, I want to go back to the world and live that way, because Christ, when you know Him and you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you have His Word and the roadmap of the future, you know that He's prepared a place for you. You know that you're in His hand. You know that you know, he's a good God and he's ultimately in control. And I mean, what a joy, you know, what a great thing it is. Amidst all these things taking place, we're the ones that don't have to freak out, because Jesus said, when you see these things taking place in the world, and he didn't just mention earthquakes like we just saw in Japan. He mentioned things like tsunamis. He says in Luke chapter 21 that the waves will be roaring to an extent where people's hearts will fail them for fear of things coming on the earth. And the number one killer on the planet is heart disease. And that's related to stress because of fear and worry. And Christ said in the last days, people would be fearing these things coming on the earth and their hearts would fail them in Luke 21. But he said of us Christians that we're to look up, for our redemption is drawing near. And what's taking place is birth pains. And Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to leave them for a little while, and then he'd come back. He's talking about his crucifixion and his resurrection. And they were questioning each other about that. And he said, I know you're questioning each other about what I said about leaving for a little while and coming back. But he let them know it's like a woman in labor. She has intense pain. But then when the baby's delivered, she forgets about that pain. And he told them that you're going to have great pain. And they did. Peter wept bitterly. After he denied the Lord three times, and he saw Jesus arrested, and of course he was crucified after that, and they had great pain and anguish. But after he had risen from the dead, there was great rejoicing that the promise had come to pass, and the resurrected Christ was there. And so it is also described in the tribulation period. It's described as birth pains that are consummated at Christ's second coming. So yeah, things will get worse, but God said He won't allow us to go, you know, through anything more than we could handle. But with the tribulation or the trial or the prosmos in the Greek, this temptation for some or trial, he'll give a way of escape that we may be able to endure it. Not that we won't have to go through things, but he'll give us the power, the strength, the wisdom, his presence to endure these things. And when Christ returns, and now whether we die before the tribulation takes place, whether he protects people during the tribulation period, whether we're here at the end of the tribulation, at the second coming of Christ, and we're caught up to meet him in the air, wherever you're at, if your trust is in Jesus, he says those who have their eyes fixed on him, he'll keep in perfect peace. So the key is focusing on Jesus. If we know these things are happening, but we're not seeking the Lord, and you know, we're doing our own thing, well, then we're part of the problem. We need to realize that Jesus said, he that's not with me is against me. You know, he that doesn't gather with me scatters, and he doesn't leave a neutral ground. So we have to say, okay, who am I with? You know, whose side am I on? And thankfully, Christ says, whoever comes to me, I won't cast out any. See, when I became a Christian as just turning 18, I thought, man, will God accept me? Because I was involved in this occult stuff, and will you even accept me? And I began to read the scriptures and come across those promises. Whoever comes to me, I will not cast away. And Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls.
Well, I think that we're moving into really a very, very difficult time. I've been at this for 49 years, and I just see these things unfolding with more rapidity now than ever before. The financial problems, the political problems, the moral problems, and now, of course, the incipient war in the Middle East, certainly doing everything we can to actually create this great Muslim state over there, to rejuvenate I think they call it the Great Muslim Empire, the One World Muslim Empire, and then there's the destruction of our economic system. Exciting times to know the Lord. Without that, there's really no hope. Pastor Joe, you go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Message. There's nothing wrong with motion pictures. It is what the story is, and the story can lead you to Christ or it can lead you away from Christ into the New Age, into the drug culture. But so many of the movies that we see today, so many of the television programs are talking about the other dimension, and certainly there's this sort of mystery and intrigue about it, and they're very well done. They're very convincing. But, of course, what is the real goal? They want us to understand there is another dimension. But, of course, there's something intriguing about it. And, well, we know there's another dimension. It's a spiritual dimension. But it's something we should not be dabbling in. We need to know it's there. We need to know the demonic forces in the world. But do not, under any circumstances, try to contact them or harness the power. The power is there. You can certainly give yourself to the other side. You'll have great wealth. You'll get great power. You'll get great fame. And you'll spend eternity in hell. Go right ahead, Pastor.
Well, that's pretty much what Jesus said. What does a prophet man if he gains the whole world, you know, and loses his soul? And what's amazing is 99% of the people that seek out this occult power, you know, they go insane in mental hospitals. They die young. Tragedy befalls them. It's only a small percent that actually embrace this power that are actually brought into the elite. So it's a bad deal either way. And then if you happen to become one of the elite through these powers, whether it's in politics or, world religion, you know, leading people in the New World Order or,
a media mogul or financially or, you know, fame or whatever, then, you know, you have some power for a very short time, but then your judgment in hell is even worse because Jesus said if you lead even one of these little ones astray, it's better that a large millstone be hung around your neck and you thrown into the sea. So the Bible mentions treasuring up wrath for yourself. People, the more wicked things they do, they treasure up wrath for themselves. And of course, that's why we all need to be forgiven. We all need to understand that Jesus Christ, God sent His Son of the world to die for us, pay for our sins, our crimes against God on the cross, and that He rose again on the third day, conquered the grave, conquered death, and that the Bible says if we repent, we turn to Him in faith, we put our trust in Him. As Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we'll be saved. There needs to be that embracing of Christ. But so many of these movies, Dr. Stan, as you know, are conditioning. I'm with you on that. There's some incredibly beautiful motion pictures, but you have to be very discerning and very careful, especially these days, because some of these movies that you got to walk out on or you feel like you got to take a bath or a shower afterwards, but just on a moral level. I mean, there's so many things with my wife and children, a great percentage of them that we won't even take a look at. But there's movies like Avatar, which is a total conditioning to receive Antichrist. I mean, it's the most, you know, the biggest movie ever made now. But it's not only a movie that is pushing the worship of Awa, the tree, instead of Yahweh, God. And by the way, Awa phonetically is Yahweh backwards. But it's interesting. It's not only worshiping the tree back to paganism and what have you, but it's about, you know, Avatar, who's a false Christ. By the way, Benjamin Krem, the John the Baptist of the New Age movement that's preparing the world to receive the Christians, the Christ for Christians, the Messiah for Jews, the 12th Imam for the Muslims, you know, the Imam for the Muslims, and also he calls it the Avatar. The world's being prepared for the Avatar, a Hindu a name for, you know, a God becoming a man. And in the movie Avatar, it's a total New Age telling of the New Age Christ, and he comes to this planet, and he's a high, you know, he's a different being, and he comes to this Pandora planet, and all of a sudden he's anointed with these seeds from the Awa tree. It's like he becomes the Christ, and they don't trust him, and then, you know, the soon-to-be girlfriend falls in love with him because she recognizes that she could trust him, and he's intriguing, and these seeds, which are these little angel-type pre-existing spirits, they're called in the movie, come and rest upon him. So he's got this help from these spiritual entities. He's accepted. And then what he does is he becomes a savior. He unites the world to fight this threat coming from the skies, the sky god, the sky people, which is a picture of Christ returning to judge the world. And he rides on a red dragon. That's how he gets his power, not until he rides on the red dragon. Revelation 12 and 13, the red dragon, which is Satan, gives his power to the beast, who is worshipped. And then he's worshipped as soon as he gets this red dragon and he lands among the people of Pandora.
Well, it really is amazing. If you understand the Bible, you can understand setting the background of so many of our movies. If you don't, you have to understand they understand the scriptures. They are simply flaunting this, in open rebellion against our Lord. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Sir, you go right ahead.
Wow. You know, we've covered a lot of ground. I think it's great. It's been a great talk because we've talked about a lot of different things that different streams of prophetic thought, you know, and their fulfillment in Scripture today and before our very eyes. You said earlier it's an exciting time to live, and that is the truth. I mean, I oftentimes think of wow, when would it be have been a great time to live in history? And, of course, during the times of Christ would be absolutely amazing. You know, you'd hope he would have lined up among his disciples, you know, for sure, you know. But next to that, I mean, this is just as exciting in another way, because we're seeing the great prophecies of the Bible come to pass. And one of them, of course, being, you know, the regathering of the Jews back to the land of Israel. And it says that God would bring them back. If we read those early chapters before Gog and Magog, the Battle of Armageddon, in Ezekiel 36:37, right in that area specifically, it says that God would bring them back in a state of unbelief. You know, they would be in unbelief, and of course, according to the Old Testament prophets, the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Bible, it won't be until after they're surrounded by the nations that God comes to deliver them. They're finally crying out. They're finally realizing that they can't depend upon the horses of Egypt or the military might of the United States anymore, because the whole world surrounds them. And they finally, there's a remnant, because it says two-thirds of them will be killed during that time in the Hebrew prophecies in Zechariah. And then it states that a third will go through the fire and be sifted like silver. And they're going to cry out to God saying, Yahweh, deliver us. And it's amazing, because in Zechariah 12 it says that he'll deliver them. It says they will see him whom they have pierced, which of course is Jesus. And when they see him, they will weep for him as one mourns for an only son. And it mentions the different tribes of Israel mourning. And it says a fountain of cleansing is open to them. And it's quite a remarkable prophecy, because we see all these pictures, not only of Antichrist in the Old Testament, but we see these beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ and how he would be...
Hold that thought.
Sure.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Pastor Joe was just saying what exciting times we live in. And before I go on, though, I want you to get your website up one more time. I would simply point out to our listeners, if you're living in Southern California, that I will be speaking at the Health Freedom Conference on a Friday afternoon, again Friday evening, and again on Sunday evening. So if, it's going to be the Long Beach Convention Center. And so if you happen to be in the area, why, it should be an interesting time. That is this coming Friday evening, Friday at 4 o'clock. I'll be speaking at the Health Freedom Conference at the Long Beach Convention Center. Again, on Sunday evening at 4 o'clock at the Long Beach Convention Center, there will be a panel from 6 to 8 at the Convention Center, and I'll be there as well, so we'll have a table. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you. Pastor Joe, how can people get in touch with you and your ministry?
Yeah, just simply go to goodfight.org, one word, goodfight.org. And there's, I won't reiterate everything I mentioned before. I just mentioned you might want to check out our feeder. We have several clips that will be of interest if you're trying to reach people for Christ, your children, your parents, friends, neighbors. It's a great place to bring people, because they get to see a lot of clips that we put together that are very startling and eye-opening. We've seen many, many people come to Christ through them, their eyes opened, and it's just been a blessing for a lot of people. And not because it's our work, I just, you know, I'm responding to you asking for our website. I'm not here to plug even our ministry other than to plug the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, but you'll find some really good resources there. We're trying to always update it and keep people abreast from biblical prophetic perspective of what's going on. And it's pretty amazing, because it says in the last days, God would rise up people, Dr. Stan, to do exploits, you know, to reveal the truth, and that many would go to and fro, run to and fro, and knowledge would increase. And the historical way that some people have understood that prophecy in Daniel was that would be airplanes and cars and travel. They'd be going to and fro. But the scriptures describe going to and fro in Jeremiah and elsewhere as in search for truth. So I think it's interesting. It talks about people in the last days will go to and fro, and then the very next words are an increase in knowledge. I believe in the last days it's talking about people go to and fro for truth, for scripture. We'll read the scripture, and they'll come to a knowledge of the truth, whereas it says the wicked will not understand. And I believe these are exciting times, because on one hand, where there's mass deception, there's also God is at work in the world right now, and he's the ultimate victor. And Jesus Christ said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, as it witnessed to all nations, then the end will come. And we're seeing that take place as another theme of fulfillment that is biblically prophesied taking place before our eyes. And we're excited because we've got 20-some people, 22, I believe, from our fellowship leaving in about a week or so, a week from tomorrow, to go to Uganda. And I not only get the opportunity to do a pastor's conference there and equip the pastors, but we get to minister to AIDS orphans, AIDS widows, and work with ministries down there that are doing a great work. And so we're looking forward to that. And there's all these wonderful things we can do as Christians to minister to the people who are hurting, to reach out to people, to love them through the situations that they're in. And I personally believe that as a Christian, what a great opportunity. We live in a very hurting world where we can reach out to those who are unfortunate, those who are struggling, those who don't have enough to eat, don't have medical care, where we can love them. We can reach out to them not only by giving them a hand and ministering to them and helping them in those ways, but also with the gospel that brings eternal life, you know. So we live in an opportunity. We don't sit back in the bleachers and just be, you know, spectators. God's given us our marching orders, and I think, wow, people are missing out on the excitement of serving Christ and doing His will and being part of this end-time army of believers who spread the good news, and it is good news. We have good news that we can be saved from all of this and where all this is headed, and a lot of that comes back to the mystery of what's happened to Israel, as I mentioned earlier before the break, and I was mentioning that there's this incredible picture because the Bible says Elijah the prophet, you know, he says, which of the, you know, prophets, you know, he says, I'm the only one that's left, and the scriptures say, which of the prophets, you know, have you not stoned? So Israel had routinely destroyed their own prophets, and so it's no wonder that Christ would be rejected. It says in Isaiah 53 in the Old Testament that the Messiah says that he'd be rejected, and they would say, think he was, you know, spitten of God, and it would be, you know, marred beyond that of any man, and but it says all of us like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. And that happened with Jesus, of course, and he was cut off, it says, from the land of the living. That's all prophetic. But it says that they wouldn't recognize the Messiah, and that when he'd come back, they'd see the one that they'd pierced. But there's an incredible picture of that with Joseph being the favored son and being rejected by his brethren because his brothers, the 12 tribes, you know, basically, I mean, he was one of the 12, but he was rejected by all of his brothers because he had these incredible vision of the sun and the moon and 12 stars bowing down to him, and they became jealous of him, and his father favored him, and they rejected him. They were going to murder him. They threw him in a pit. He ended up going into exile and given him into slavery into Egypt. And there, there's this huge famine, as you know, and he has this prophetic vision to save up for 7 years, those lean years the Egyptians do. He's able to feed the world, becomes the vice regent under Pharaoh. The right hand, and feeds the world, the Gentiles, this bread. And then his own brethren come to him, not knowing it's him, because they're in need of bread too, and they're finally at their wit's end, and he reveals himself to them, the one that they'd pierced, the one that they'd rejected. And that's God telling us the story that the descendants of the 12 sons, the descendants of Israel, would reject the favored son, Jesus Christ. They threw him into a pit during his trial too, and then he was rejected. He was crucified, but through his crucifixion, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He gives bread to the world. The Gentile world is receiving the message of eternal life, salvific bread for eternity. And then, just like Joseph went back, ended up coming back to his brethren when they cried out. When they cry out for God's help in the end, God will reveal himself to the descendants of those brothers, and they'll see him. In the Hebrew Bible, it says that they'll see him whom they have pierced, just like they recognized Joseph, and there was great weeping. They'll see those. There's this incredible plan that God has, and that's why when I read the Bible, it's like, you know what? Only God could have written this, because the God of the Old Testament, or the people that hold this Old Testament, don't realize even what they have and God's plan for them. So I recognize that Israel is in unbelief right now, and that nation sometimes makes mistakes, but I also recognize, isn't it interesting that the Islamic world and all the world is heating up against Israel and against the church, against Christians? And it's amazing because those prophetic themes are so alive and well. And even in the movie V for Vendetta, made by the Wachowski brothers, who had made The Matrix, which I'm not going to get into, but Neo Anderson means new son of man, Neo Anderson. He's a false Christ who fights against the AI, which is the picture of God who's controlling everything, and basically says, do what thou wilt. At the end of the movie, you know, we don't have to follow his rules and what have you. It's a distorted picture of God. The same same Wachowski brothers made V for Vendetta based on the graphic novel by Alan Moore, who's a full-blown Gnostic Satanist, wears a serpent, you know, serpent jewelry, admits he's a follower of Aleister Crowley, got in touch with the demon of cinema, writes V for Vendetta, the graphic novel, about a character named V, who his philosophy three times in that graphic novel is, do what thou wilt, shall be the whole of the law. Of course, in the movie they made, they keep that out. But in that movie, there's a homosexual guy that he partners with, he buddies up with, and he has a secret lair, they both do, and he goes to his lair because he's been, you know, pushed out of society by these fascists. But the fascists are the Christians. Their symbol in the graphic novel is the cross, you see, and those are the ones that have to be overthrown. And when you go into his lair, and I mentioned that he's a homosexual because when you go into his lair, all of a sudden there's this golden glow around this book that he says he finds so intriguing. And you think, well, this is a pro-neo-Gnostic, New Age, you know, satanic movie. If you don't know what it's about, then you see the graphic novel, you see what it's about. All of a sudden you see, well, what's this book that's being glorified? And guess what it is, Dr. Stan? It's the Quran, you know? The Quran. I mean, this same guy in an Islamic country, in many Islamic countries, would be beheaded because of his homosexuality. Yet Christianity, which says, you know, Christ died for this man, is rejected. Yet the Quran, what is it about the liberals in the United States that want to prop up Islam, even though Islam would have their head too? I believe personally it's because they share a common hatred for the Judeo-Christian message, a hatred, many of them, for Israel, because Israel, I mean, there were more UN resolutions against Israel than any other nation for 30-some years put together, and against Christianity and against our Christ.
Absolutely. And of course, we keep saying there's a conspiracy against Christianity. Of course, I can see the same conspiracy against Israel. I all the time I'm getting calls telling me that, well, really, of course, it was the Jews or the Mossad that was behind the 9/11 attack, and the Jews are responsible for everything. There's a growing anti-Semitism in America, and people don't understand. And these people would make an excellent case for their point, except they're wrong, and you can argue with them, but they're not going to hear you. Their minds are made up, and really it's rather frightening when you realize the number of people who honestly believe that Israel is responsible for all the problems of the world. Certainly there's some evil people in Israel. There's some satanic people in Israel. But that doesn't mean that all of the Jewish people are, or even a significant number of them are. Many of them are liberal, many of them don't understand, many of them are anti-Christian. But they certainly are not part of this. It's a satanic conspiracy for the souls of men and the destruction of Christian civilization and, of course, of Israel itself. So we're living in exciting times.
No, and you're exactly right, and I would agree with you. I mean, I think a lot of people fail to make the distinction between apostates or those who are internationalists. And there's internationalists, of course, that are from every race, including Jews. But there are Jewish internationalists that want a new world order that are very opposed to Israel. You know, you can look at some of the major funding, or you can look at Soros. You know, he's said many things against the state of Israel. You know, he wants a new world order. He's one of the richest guys on the planet that's financing political wars, and it's a known thing that this guy actually is in the mix of actually financing wars and things of that nature. And he had a huge part in Barack Obama becoming president. Yet with Soros, you can look at his bio, and you can even look at something like Wikipedia, and it goes into his statements against the nation of Israel, the state of Israel. And we, Dr. Stan, you know, there's other high-ranking, more very powerful Jewish people who are against the state of Israel because they're New World Order people, they're internationalists. So, of course, we don't support that. But that's not all Jews. There's some, look at a lot of the, CNN, Turner, I don't think he was Jewish, and a lot of these people that are very anti-Christian and very pro New World Order. I think what Satan loves to do, though, is he likes to use apostate Christians, those who aren't truly Christian. Many of the top atheists, the top socialists, the top one-worlders, the top movers were brought up in a, very strong Christian background. and had a real hatred for God, had a hatred for Christianity. L. Lester Crowley, you know, who's behind so much of what's going on a social level in the popular world today, in Satanism and in the New Age movement and what have you. His dad was a Plymouth Brethren evangelist who knocked on doors to spread the gospel, yet his mom gave him the nickname the Beast because he was such antagonistic toward Christianity, and he began to sign his name the Beast 666, and his whole goal was to get and hold the devil personally and become his chief of staff. And he helped engineer, as I show, and they sold their souls for rock and roll. I document it from his own words. He targets the United States of America, and he hopes to get disciples that will push the whole philosophy of do what thou wilt, you know, do your own thing. It became in the 60s, and we showed in detail in the 1960s whether it was Timothy Leary saying he's completing Crowley's work and quoting him on a PBS interview, do what thou wilt, tell me the whole of the law, Robert Anton Wilson, editor for Playboy magazine, during the hippie movement, said he practiced, you know, read all his books and practiced Crowley's magic. Over and over again, we show, co-founder of Church of Satan, Kenneth Anger, follower of Aleister Crowley's teaching, Lucifer Rising, all kinds. It was all about Crowley's rituals, yet he was the filmmaker that the hippie revolution was. He was the top, you know, underground filmmaker. And what's amazing, Kenneth Anger is a co-founder of Church of Satan. Yet, it's interesting about that is Bono of U2 getting together with the president or the leader of Turkey saying, let's have this conference where we unite, you know, we try to have a conference where we try to unite Christians and Muslims and Jews. When Bono has his concert, sometimes they would have this coexist thing. You may have seen the coexist thing, you know, a synthesis of the cross and you know, the Muslim moon and crescent moon and the Jewish star and bring it all together kind of thing. Bono, who's huge, I mean, he's amazingly big as far as working with world leaders and what have you, he wants to have this conference. Yet Bono said, Dr. Stan, he said in two different interviews, he said things like this, that he wanted to start Zoo TV, which would be like MTV, compete against MTV. He said, so I can show the world, so that it can be an eye to the world of the movies of Kenneth Anger. Another time he said he felt America was deprived because so many of them haven't seen the movies of Kenneth Anger. Kenneth Anger is the co-founder of the Church of Satan. His movies push Satanism, push Aleister Crowley's teachings, yet Bono has claimed to be a Christian, and he was a featured speaker at the American Prayer Breakfast, and yet he's quoting from the Bible and quoting from the Quran. And what people don't see is it's a satanic movement at the fore, you know, at the foundation, but it's bringing together different apostate elements and different, you know, pictures or manifestations of apostasy into a whole, and that's where we're headed on so many different levels right now.
Well, I think people can say they believe in God, but the question is, what God do they believe in? People can say they believe in Jesus Christ, but what Jesus Christ do they believe in? Do they believe in the Christian Jesus Christ? Do they believe in the Muslim Jesus Christ, which is an entirely different entity? Until we look at the back of the dollar bill, and there above the occult emblem of the ancient mystery religions, there you'll see on the left side the pyramid capped by the glorified eye. Why, of course, the caption, in God we trust. But what God are they talking about? And people, ladies and gentlemen, you must understand that the Gnostic gospel is alive and well. What is the Gnostic gospel? There are two gods. One is the God of the Bible. One, of course, is the God of the underworld, Lucifer. And that's why you really need to get some of Joe Schimmel's works and some of the interviews we've done with him. You need to understand what we're up against. And, of course, the common denominator certainly is this gospel, this Gnostic message. Not one Christian in 1,000 really understands it. Do you think that's an accurate estimate? Sydney Joe, I don't think most people have any idea what Gnosticism is about.
Yeah, you're right. With regard to Gnosticism, one of the neo-Gnostic symbols today, which is basically, Satan's program against God today.
We have more time. Hold that thought. Go right ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but go ahead.
No. it's interesting because Aleister Crowley, he had what he called as the
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you know what happens to a community that fluoridates its drinking water? Well, the incidence of Down syndrome and endocrine dysfunction, heart disease, thyroid disease, hip fracture, mental problems, infertility, cancer, and crime increases. And if you doubt that, why, go to fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org, or the website of the scientists who work for the EPA. That's NTEU280.org. That's NTEU280.org. So what can you do to protect yourself? Well, we carry a Berkey water unit. It does a great job. If you have the fluoride filter, specifically taking fluoride out of the drinking water, but you're still going to get a lot of fluoride absorbed through your skin if you shower or bathe. So we have now a total home filtration unit. It's affordable. It does a great job. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 to learn about the total home filtration unit.
What have you. Well, what's interesting right now, Dr. Sten, is you have, throughout the music industry, a new symbol that they're flashing all the time. Guess what it is? It's the eye in the triangle. They're making a triangle with their hands. Jay-Z, Rihanna, Lady Gaga, I can show in her costumes, the eye in the triangle. They'll before their fans, they'll put the triangle up over their eye. Sometimes they'll put three fingers up with a circle 666 over their eye, off in the triangle. And now, and I show thousands of youth in response to Jay-Z putting the eye, the rock supposedly, but it's actually a triangle symbol, and I show on his clothing wear. He's a multimillionaire from his, he's got the most popular hip-hop clothing wear. I mean, this guy, Jay-Z, is not only big because of his music, but I show in his clothing wear where over and over again you see the eye and the triangle. So isn't it interesting, Dr. Stan, that the symbol that's becoming more and more popular, that's replacing even the devil horns for many people, is the eye in the triangle.
when will the movie be over? When will it be ready?
They sold their souls for rock and roll. We just talked to Ron, who's my editor, and he is coming along quite well on it. So we've got a little more to do. But we're hoping we can chat at the end of the spring, and I'll be able to deliver it into your hands.
Please give me a call when the time comes. We've got to let you go out of time. But
certainly will.
God bless. Have a safe trip, and we Godspeed.
Thank you very much. God bless you, Dr.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, certainly, Pastor Joe is one of our favorite guests, and I hope you've enjoyed the program as much as I have. Anyway, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, And if you're out there and you're in a position to help, we'd love to have you become a member of the Radio Liberty Family of Supporters. And you do that by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we do ask you to give serious consideration to getting our book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get our talks on the Forbidden Secret, the Dark Secret, and the syllabus as it goes with that. And certainly you'll find so much in our website. Our books and videos, and certainly 4-tape sets and DVDs that will help you to understand the true nature of the spiritual battle we're engaged in today, because that's really what it's all about. And then go to our website and look up the story of Jesus. You'll find the link there on a banner on our homepage. Look up the section on Are You Saved? And those two websites, I hope you'll go to, point other people there. Certainly at this point in history, I feel we're going to have to emphasize much more of the spiritual aspect of what's going on. Things are moving so very, very rapidly. They really are. We're moving towards a climax of history. Everything we're doing over in the Middle East is to overthrow the existing governments that are there, and so we can establish the new Islamic world order. The new Islamic world order. This is really what it's all about. And once you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Well, certainly we hope, of course, that you will go to our website. You can watch our movies, DVDs for nothing. You can read our letters, all of the letters.